Welcome to the JRD Hogcast, your Razorback podcast for fans by fans. Here's your host, Dylan Lee, joined, as always, with his co-host, Jordan Russell, and their producer, Luke Griggs.
Thanks for downloading the JRD Hogcast. Let's get into it, Jordan.
We've been out for a little bit, bro.
Just a little bit. Life's hitting us. I mean, we'll get into probably the biggest news later on.
But we just have to point out again, it was me again who got sick. It's always me. And if you don't have the sexy voice on the show, what's the point of it?
Oh, okay. I see.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I did it for the people.
Oh, okay.
But we back.
Well, sometimes you got to fight through it, you know? You can be day-to-day and be on the IR and still be producing stuff.
You know, I'll put a little bit more effort, if you will. Been a little busy. But I want to get into something right off the bat because I think it's kind of relevant to some stuff we've talked about.
In the past.
And it's also, I don't know what it says more about, if it says more about the how gullible people are these days or how much the internet world has come into the real world and it makes it seem half-assed legitimate. But there's recruiting hoaxes going on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And kids are thinking that they're actually getting offers from these colleges, big colleges. Texas is one of them that got brought up in this, offering kids via DMs on Twitter to come play football for their programs. And kids are buying it. Kids are shutting down their recruiting. I'm taking it. And I think it's, honestly, I think it says more about the parents, right?
Something's wrong there on the parent side. And
I got recruited by Arkansas.
Where's the paper?
Yeah, where's the paper? Well, it was a Twitter DM.
Not gonna happen.
You didn't get offered by Arkansas, boy. And it's like I said, I don't know. Sad? Is it sad? Is it the kids' fault for buying it?
Well, it's a weird world we live in. That's just kind of where it is. Because ultimately, I hate to be this guy, but you don't know how much truth it is on both sides. Obviously,
that's a good point.
The good point of it is, you know, someone's messing with the kid, trying to do it that way, or is the kid trying to get some hype for himself by trying to get some offers from other schools that way and mm-hmm. pushing it that way, thinking that, hey, I'm getting contacted by a Division I guy. That's going to mean other schools want to come into the fold at that point. I mean, I'll be honest with it. We're usually not in the boat of trashing people, but looking at you, John Oliver,
right?
Because that thing is shady.
Well,
because go on Twitter right now, after all that has kind of blown over, and now this stuff is coming out with other programs, go try to find John Oliver right now.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say, because it's been a minute, so we're probably a week, maybe not quite a full week ago that this was going around on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But again, John Oliver, I don't call us trashing him per se. I think it's more of a
talking about what happened.
Being honest, I guess. But, you know, he got offered via text from, was it Brad Davis? When that, air quote, Brad Davis. And he did what he did with the Twitter and, you know, Jesus and stuff. But Texas got brought up into this, like I said. And what I don't understand is a text message is one thing. I wouldn't buy that either, but there's no real quick verification, i.e. blue check mark. You're getting messages from these coaches, DMs on Twitter. The first thing you're going to do is go and look at the profile, right?
Right, absolutely. And if you've had a relationship with the university enough in terms of recruiting, you're already going to have them on Twitter followed or had some kind of communication at that.
Nick Saban ain't going to crawl up in an O2 Stars DMs and be like, hey, we offered you.
No, that's not how it works. It's going to be voice, like over the phone, you're talking to the person. And even at that, most likely it's going to be in person.
It's going to be an OV.
Yeah.
It's going to be. Or a home visit, I guess. More likely an OV. Because
you're going to be eye to eye with the person that's offering you the scholarship.
Right. And like I said, we've been out. I'm still doing that. Still clearing
a little bit. Yeah, he's still trying.
Still a little bit. But we've been out for a little bit, and I just wanted to talk about that right away because I think it's, like I said, there's a fine line between sad, a little bit ignorant, to be honest with you. And come on, parents. step it up and do your freaking job. But you got something here that I really want to talk about because I think that this is interesting.
This kind of falls back into it because everybody probably knows that I'm not the biggest Tom Herman fan.
What?
This might be news to you, but suck it, Texas. but how it comes back into it is Mel Tucker, who was last I knew, former assistant at Alabama. I think he had to stay with Jacksonville Jaguars, actually. And then he took a head coaching job at Colorado, been there the last 2 years, I believe. And he was in the running for the Michigan State job after Mark D'Antoni.
Mm-hmm.
I always do that one, and then the basketball coach for Houston.
Yeah,
I get those mixed up. Anywho, Mel Tucker was in the running for that, and he sent out a tweet on February 8th, and it said, "Well, while I'm flattered to be considered for the head coaching job in Michigan State football, I am committed to the Colorado Buffs football. Or hashtag the build of our program. It's great athletes, coaches, and supporters. Hashtag unfinished business. Hashtag go Buffs. We are hashtag relentless. Hashtag culture. Hashtag the build." Well, Jesus. Take that build and blow it up because he has now been announced as the head coach for Michigan State. So if you want a quick little rundown, Mel Tucker has said there is no transfer portal for the real world. Which kind of agree with him on that side. Yeah,
that one's good. But then,
but it is definitely ironic in this situation. He's had three different coaching jobs in the last 3 years, so I guess he's only been there for a year.
Yeah,
Colorado. And he initially denied it with the tweet that we already read to you. He gets offered a little bit more money, and he says, "Well, go Spartans."
Well, that's what I was saying to you before we hit the record button here. It's like, well, no, they're only offering me blah, blah, blah. Screw that. Let's build this Buffalo program. Then the agent calls 20 minutes later like, "Hey, bro, they just offered you $5 more million. Oh, well, screw you, Colorado.
So the reason, going back to the Tom Herman side of things of that, I almost have to give him credit, though, because he had to keep his guys at Houston locked into a game. So he did this wishy-washy stuff, and then, hey, few weeks later, he was announced as Texas's head coach.
Well, again, as a
Mel Tucker, on the other hand, you hit dirty right after recruiting signing day. You have recruits coming at him, be like, "I hate to be lied to."
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he was getting dragged.
Well, the Tom Herman thing is, so being a Christian fella, that's why the Oliver stuff gets on my nerves.
Yeah.
Like, you throw in God and Jesus every other tweet. Herman, you know, "I'm a man of faith. I ain't a liar," and all that. And then he bounces, just like you mentioned. You know, mm-hmm. no. You know, we're here. Of course, they were playing for a bowl game and all that. But whatever. So all of it. If you
between the two, I mean, I'm still gonna go.
We're still kicking Herman in the nuts.
Yeah.
But they, it's tough as a coach. I'm sure it is. You know, like Lane Kiffin, he was on his live interviews every Tuesday or whatever it was leading up to the hiring at Ole Miss. And at that point was denying Arkansas stuff, but constantly answering questions. It's a tough spot, I'm sure. But I mean, I'm a fan of no comment.
Yep.
Just leave it at that and let people read into whatever it is. The homers are going to say, "Oh, look, yeah, he ain't trying to give nobody any hope. He's staying put."
It's easier to block that noise out that way. You know, no comment.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Something along those lines. If you know, radio show, I'm here to talk about Florida Atlantic, you know, in terms of Lane Kiffin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to talk about Florida Atlantic, that whole deal. And you've got that initial pivot, and, hey, you've got people between you and the media.
Right.
You know, you have agents, you have media directors at the university. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff you can take advantage of. You don't have to go onto Twitter. That's kind of the thing Mel's
Yeah, that's where Mel definitely kind of shit the bed a little bit, like, you don't do that. What did you say? It was February 8th, and then
you want me to slap you on the hand? Or, I mean, our producer already talked to you about it. We were trying to clean that up a little bit.
Oh, he did. Pooped the bed.
He pooped the bed. He
defecated in the sheets. I forgot what I was saying. Okay, February 8th, and then what? When did he accept it?
I think it was the 10th when he was the announced.
The 10th, so probably not even a solid 48 hours later, and his tweet just blows up.
Well, and I mean, at that point, he's still probably in contact. So
yeah,
with, you know, Michigan State, they're still willing and dealing at this point. But ultimately, the worst part about Mel Tucker being a sleazebag is that Brett Bielema is still getting money from the
foundation.
That's
what I was going to say. That was
where... Well, not getting money from the foundation, but still we're on the hook. Really wish Brett Bielema was going to get that job.
That's what I was
going to
say. Do you think his agent's like, dude, one more year of this. One more year. And then after you take the head coaching job. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what relinquishes it, right? A head coaching job in football, college football. So I'd be kind of budgeting, looking at that house up there and, you know, New England, like, man, you get one more.
He's over at the Giants now. So.
Oh, he is, isn't he? Yeah. So. Maybe he's just born for the Northeast, man. Stay up there. But I thought, I thought there was a solid chance he takes that job. Because people were hating on him, you know, after what he did to Arkansas or whatever. But me and you discussed it, like, Big Ten's where he could probably make his money. Like, he could be the Saban of the Big Ten, I think.
He can be fat and slow up there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the exception of McCaffrey, that's about it. But, or no, he was Stanford. But,
you thinking of Barkley?
Barkley, yes.
He's a freak, so.
He is just stupid. But, I mean, do you think that's his next job, Bielema? It's got to be, right? It's got to be a Big Ten job.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, who's the big dog in the Big Ten now? Coaching-wise,
probably Franklin. I mean, I wouldn't give it to Day quite yet. I mean, just because you inherited a Meyer program, that doesn't go there. Well, Harbaugh.
You think he's a big dog? He's a big name.
He's a big name.
Is he the big dog?
Like, in terms of competition?
Yeah, like, who are you coaching against?
Yeah, I mean.
This will be Day's year, probably, to see can he do that 2 years in a row. But I can't really think of anybody. Harbaugh is a solid 8-4 guy.
I think Franklin's a better coach than Harbaugh. I think he doesn't get enough credit in terms of what he's done.
I'm kind of splitting hairs here, but Franklin bothers me because he never can win the big one.
Right.
He can't get past that hump. But anyway.
Still fields good teams. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. His recruiting classes are solid and everything, and would he go 10-2 this year or something like that?
So here's the deal. Going in, things coming into my head here, right? So Michigan, the hot seat's obviously there for Harbaugh.
Every year.
Right.
Since year two.
Yeah. So another run-of-the-mill 8-4 season or something along those lines. Yep. You know, Michigan fans go ahead and burn him at the stake kind of deal. Bielema?
I think he would take it. I think he would. I don't think, honestly, though, Harbaugh has kind of gotten in a Les Miles situation now, because Les Miles did what he did at LSU. You know, he won the national championship, but then it was not 8-4, but he was a 9-3, 10-2 guy. Mm-hmm. Couldn't beat Bama, couldn't win the SEC or whatever. And I think Harbaugh's fixing to get fired midseason.
You think?
Because they're they start the year pissed at him.
Mm-hmm.
Filling in some solid recruiting classes. He's never had a down recruiting class. He's always got the talent, but he just can't win the games. That's a coaching problem.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know.
I mean, think about all the hype that was behind Che Patterson going into
us from the SEC fan base knew better than that. But, well, I say that. I kind of thought he would. I knew he wasn't what they thought he was, but I thought he would do better than he did.
Yeah, the idea that he was like a dark horse Heisman, that was pretty laughable.
Never bought
me.
That, yeah.
And no. I was like, in order to be a Heisman contender, you have to look at the other competitors that you're looking at. And in that class, you know, obviously we didn't know what Joe Burrow was going to do.
I had no idea it'd be that.
And honestly, you can say that he was a dark horse in that front because
with
how he won it, that was – no one saw that coming.
Right.
If you did, you're a lying sack of crap.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, you got Tua and Jalen Hurts going into this season, and you're like, you really think –
Well, even Jalen you didn't think would be –
But
in,
you
a
think,
Patterson level, yes.
Yeah, you think Shea's going to outplay those guys.
Right, right.
So, and then you had running backs that were going to provide more to the game, like Taylor from Wisconsin as well. So that might be another deal. Does Bielema get reunited with Wisconsin if takes another job?
One of these days, we're kind of all over the map here right now, but that's fine.
That's fine.
That's our show. But one of these days, me and you are going to do a podcast, and we're going to revamp the awards. College football.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Because this year, I think the Heisman was legitimate. And Joe Burrow was the best football player in college football last year. But years prior, McCaffrey still hurts my feelings. He earned that. Derrick Henry, for all he's done in the pros, when shout out, because I did not think he'd have as good of a career so far as he has. He was not a better college football player than McCaffrey. Point being, running backs don't get much love. Defensive players don't get much love. I think there needs to be some sort of breakdown of – and people love committees, right? Everybody loves committees. So, who has made the most game-changing plays in the season?
So, you want a true most valuable player award.
Yeah, just like the NFL. I think the MVP is a glorified freaking quarterback trophy now. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. Again, McCaffrey. I mean, dude's a freak. I played you in fantasy. I know this. So, nobody loves – of course they don't love him. Luther, I'm being sarcastic. But I think that there should be an actual best college football player trophy.
It would be interesting if the Heisman kind of weighed on a percentage with a fan vote as well.
I don't love that either.
Really? I mean,
Pro Bowl's fan votes. The NBA, NBA All-Stars
fan NBA vote. All-Star was a,
it's a joke.
Terrible. Like, yeah. You have Damon Lillard. Well, he sat out. But then you have guys that are just ridiculous. Devin Booker at the Suns, mm-hmm. Not a really good team, but he's putting up ridiculous numbers.
Again, and McCaffrey, that's why McCaffrey didn't get no love for the MVP, because mm-hmm. The Panthers were terrible. So, I don't like the fan vote idea.
Not a true fan vote. I'm just saying a Wade. Like, it comes into it. Ultimately, really doesn't matter.
You could almost do it like electoral votes. I'm not trying to get political, but you could almost do that. Like, because the reason I don't like fan votes is because fan votes are going to be region-oriented, right? But if you, like me and you, and probably a decent majority of the people listening to this show, we look at the college landscape as a whole. Like, we know nobody from the Razorbacks deserved anything near a Heisman vote, but Treylon Burks needed more love as a receiver.
Right.
But we were a god-awful 2-10 team, so he didn't get looked at for anything. So, we could cast votes across the country landscape, maybe minus Pac-12, because no one stays up and watches those games. But we could – I think there could be like, not legitimate electoral type stuff, but like this number of votes from this – because California is going to blow up with California people. Texas is going to blow up for that Ellinger dude that they call a quarterback. So
in his 12th year there.
Yeah, year 13, I think, coming up. So I think there could be something like that. It'll never happen. It's what's kind of fun about us having this show and we can talk about this stuff. It's going to continue to be a popularity vote, though. It's going to be – McFadden's a prime example. We weren't the winningest team that year.
Right.
So he didn't get looked at.
But he changed the game of football for the rest of history. But whatever.
Speaking of great committees.
Yeah.
We won't say that one, Luke. But anyway, we just kind of got down a rabbit hole, but I think we should look into that. Maybe a preseason thing, if you will.
Yeah. You know what? Open it up to our listeners. Obviously, they can hit us up at JRD Hogcast on Twitter, or you can hit us up on our voice or text call. It's 479-308-8605.
We need to do something.
Mailbag!
I thought we forgot about him.
I'm sure he did. You have controls of this as far as responding goes, but Andy has been... I'm about to really need to clear my throat here. Try not to do it in the mic.
All right, so there's that. You guys didn't hear nothing.
Andy's been blowing us up for the past, it's almost been 2 weeks since we recorded. I think tomorrow would be 2 weeks. But
it's also a year since we started this deal.
Tomorrow. Absolutely, yeah. It is. And we will be busy. But, Andy, I was thinking, I don't know, did you do any correspondence with Andy while he was hitting us up?
Yes, I responded. He was aware of the situation.
Okay, cool. So
that's what you get when you hit us up on the text circle.
Yeah, if we ain't dropping an episode or two that week, we ain't done. Just things moving on. But he had some good points. Some of them are a bit outdated due to the circumstances. But one thing I wanted to talk about was our boy Andy had his Hogville account deleted.
This is number two for him.
Number two. That's right. And I just wanted to say... shout out. I like it.
I mean, it's impressive to get deleted off of a forum.
I assume it's, Andy talks probably more candid with us, I would assume.
That's we welcome that.
Exactly.
You won't get deleted from our phone. We won't shut you down. You won't get blocked.
So he says here, though, his account was deleted not for anything he had done, but because they found out he had been deleted before.
Yeah.
Well, Andy, piss on him, right? So we won't delete you, buddy. And he said that we're going to be his new outlet. Kind of thought we already were. A little jealous, but we don't have to talk about that too much. And he also brought up the honeymoon being over with Eric Musselman. And I kind of think it could be.
I agree with it. If you're scrolling through some Twitter, it definitely looks like that.
There's a guy that we're not going to mention because we just don't do that. I mean,
I also can't say that name on air. I mean, come
without
on.
Without laughing.
Yeah.
Well, it was the epitome of a parody
Dude,
account.
Yeah.
Or not a parody account.
But he's sitting there saying it's his name. He's saying that's his real name.
Well, if we're going to talk like this, we got to say it.
Slap your mama if she...
What?
If she married into that name right there.
Dingleberry. There Dingle. It is. So,
yeah, I didn't really want to give this guy any credit, but he's out there. If he's got to be a troll.
He's on a solid.
He's out there saying he's going to fight people at Sonics and Alma.
Right. Yeah.
No one knows there's a Sonic in Alma, for heaven's sakes.
Don't, man, you got to be careful who we dog here. So Alma's pretty close to NWA. We're snobby, but we have a little bit of a.
That's
fence.
Fine.
We have a little bit of a. Fence.
I'm from Siloam. I mean, that's
true.
That's
I'm from
the
Ozark,
deal.
Right?
That's the deal. Alma, their Airedales and Panthers, back when it was 5A, it was a robber.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a big deal. I've got track cleats somewhere, or track spikes somewhere that still have green chunks from their crappy.
You're talking about Alma?
Yeah.
I can't speak to their track. I had to walk across it one time, and it was garbage. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about. he's saying, is the honeymoon over with Muss? Talking about Eric Musselman, and I agree. So he says, I'm still a fan. I just think we are worn out with zero depth this year. People don't want to hear it, but I think we are a 4 seed next year. K, bye. Later, boys. I agree with that 100%.
4 seed?
He said next year, right?
Yeah, next year. 4 seed.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I think you got to look at what we're doing right now. I think we're 16. Are we 8 now? Was the other day 8 losses?
Oh, yeah.
Missouri? Is that the 8-1?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, honestly, we're looking at this, be honest with yourself. What are we at, 10 wins, 9 wins with Anderson, you think? Kind of looking at the schedule before we knew he was getting fired.
Yeah, we're not winning at Indiana.
Probably don't have wit. So, overall, 16 wins. We'll finish the season with 20, you think?
20?
Still some here and there. We're going to get revamped. Our problem is like Andy said here, is depth.
I mean, looking at this, I mean, how many we got left? We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. So you're saying
you don't think we can steal 4 of those?
4 out of 3.
I think, well, because Musselman gets the guys ready and the guys want to play. That's something, with the exception of Missouri. I'm not even going to go into that game, but
who we have again? At Bud Walton Arena. Same with Tennessee. We have them again at Bud Walton Arena. We go on the road against Florida.
Which is, we're losing that one. We always do. That's just, for now, that is what it is. But we have no depth. I mean, and Musselman talked about it a few weeks ago. He thinks that that's good. I think looking at things now and what he said then, talking about how, you know, shorter season compared to the NBA and stuff like that, I think he means you can have a solid 7 and never have to waver.
Right.
With an exceptional 8 or 9 that can come in. Right now, we don't have that. Our 8 or our 7 really is 3 people.
Right.
There is no structure, game plan. I'm not really sure. Because I think that 7 spot is more of who do we need to spell or who's in foul trouble. It's not like a guaranteed you're our 7th guy.
It's definitely who's in foul trouble. So.
And we just came off of 2 overtime games. Short rest. I think we do. Who is it tomorrow? I forget. Or I'm sorry, Saturday.
Isn't it?
You just cleared it out. Yeah. Okay, we'll get it back up. But I think we have a solid chance to wrap up 4 more.
Is it Mississippi State? I feel like it's Mississippi State.
I don't know. I'm just here. But I think the biggest deal is depth. 4 seed next year. I honestly don't have a problem buying that because. I guess a little caveat is, does Mason Jones come back?
Right.
If Mason Jones comes back.
And Joe.
You think he might leave?
I got to keep mentioning that, you know, the experts to be have him as a top 20 prospect right now.
I can't see it, man.
Well, you can thank Curry for that.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Joe's not a Curry, though.
Curry and Trae Young, I mean, it's the fact that he can take shots from the parking lot more likely than the other person. And that's what we're really missing. Because once he's gone, obviously he's out with the injury right now, the only scorer we've got is Jones and Witt.
And Witt's been pretty cold here lately.
But that's because
he's playing more.
Yeah. He's playing more. He's actually got the most minutes out of the squad.
And he's a senior. He's not going to bitch about that at all.
No.
At any point. But
the defensive side of it, just clog up the key because Mason's going to drive. Try to drive.
Well, see, I was about to bring that up. Mason's not shooting as much. He's driving more. And I'm wondering what is up with that because he is not that far off of Joe.
He doesn't have anyone to dish. I mean, you're going to have people there. You know, Sills is going to be available who will hit one.
Freaking Sills, man.
One in four shots.
That dude needs to get a standing O every time he comes out.
But honestly, you need to switch it around and give it to guys that can facilitate. So what really hurt us against Tennessee was Jalen was terrible. It was so uncharacteristic of him in terms of a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't able to get it. So two guys that you need to have driving that are capable of it is Sills and Jalen. Have Mason try to get some space off of the ball and try to shoot more. And then you open it up for Witt on the elbow. Because when you're driving, all the congestion's there. Witt can't create any space for himself to hit his elbow jumpers.
And, yeah, that's right. And he's moving more, too. Earlier in the year, even as recently as a couple weeks ago, he was able to kind of sit there almost as a high post player.
Mm-hmm.
And just turn and shoot, and he's having to move a lot more now instead of the things working around him. But what are you going to do? I mean, we can't do anything but finish this season.
Right. So, and then looking into – we're going to peek a little bit into next year, and, you know, we've got Vanover. Well, this is what we know. We have Vanover, and then we also have Moses Moody. Those are going to be bigger bodies that can spell these.
Now, I have to think Henderson's going to get it together.
Really?
I have to, unless he transfers out.
Anderson. Obviously, we know. I mean, he was trying, but you could definitely see against Tennessee why he isn't in the rotation nearly as much. I mean,
he's lost.
Yeah.
He don't know what's going on.
No.
You can't stand around and look around and
Well, and guy that I just thought of was Jalen Williams as well. So, that's another one. He's like, I think they got him at like 6'9", 6'10". So, at least that's better than what we have had.
Yep.
And
also, while we're in the mailbag, Dylan sent out a tweet to call or text. Hit us up on @GRDHardcast on the Twitter account. And Hamilton Holmes hit us up. Also, Dylan mentioned that I'm getting married tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And so, Hamilton Holmes hit us up and said that, said, congrats on the wedding, woo pig. That is what I'm talking about. And then also said that he's been married for 9 years to his best friend, and they are expecting their first kid in April. Treasure the little things and enjoy it. So congratulations to you and your wife on that, having your first one. Me and Dylan can attest that they are life changers.
Yep, absolutely.
97% of the time for the better. That 3%, though, boy, wears you out.
Yeah. I'm sure people have. Depending on how long they've listened. I don't know if Everest has been able to peek through some recordings, but
Luke does as we've said, we've got the best producer in the business, and I can hear it crystal clear when Everest is trying to tell us what they did wrong on the football field or whatever. But
he definitely comes in on me when I'm coming in with some soft takes.
Dude, when you get on your deal, it's like he senses his dad's like getting pissed.
Yeah.
And he starts, but anyway. Luke drowns him out pretty good. One of these days in about 10 years, we'll have him on just say hi. But until then, best producer of this show for sure. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But, again, thanks, Hamilton. And
I can't wait to watch you cry tomorrow.
What?
Ooh, man. It's going to be good.
I can't. Well, you see this.
Yeah. I see some surprise. I mean, I see some presents for the soon-to-be wife here.
Yeah.
And I can say this because
she
won't know this, so I know she listens to the show, so right. I got to be a little careful on that front. But Dude, the moment you see her, you're gone. I know exactly what's going to happen. I've been there.
And my dad's walking her down the aisle.
Yeah.
So that's going to...
That's special, man.
That is. And it had nothing to do with me. That's what she wanted. And you're officiating. I think we have said that on here.
I believe so.
Leading up to this. So thanks for that. I appreciate it. But you have written some stuff that apparently is so good that Luke didn't think you wrote it.
That's
and your wife.
And my wife. That one kind of hurt. Luke, you know, he's kind of an ass, so it's whatever. But when Stephanie read it and was like, you didn't write this, I was like...
That's a compliment, dude. It's got to be a compliment.
I worked really hard on it.
I'm looking forward to hearing that. If that gets me tearing up, that's going to piss me off more than anything.
I mean... I might be clutching because I got it all typed out. It's written out and everything. Uh-huh. I was going to try memorizing it, but this is too crucial to not. So I might be using it a little bit as a crutch.
There we go.
Mention words, yep. Whatever. But it's. I feel like it's going to be a good one.
And, I have faith in you, man. I wouldn't have asked you to do it if I didn't think you could, right?
I'm going to try to keep it level-headed and nice and clean because I don't want to cry. I don't want to cry, but it's big. It's big.
I mean,
I'm going to come in clutch, as our producer says right here. So
he said he will put it in his
clutch. Is he referring to a purse?
I think he is.
Oh, man. He got me.
But so you think I'm crying? You think it's happening?
Probably not by what I say. I mean, I'm not going to push it too heavy there. Seeing her will.
You know, so we have this thing where I've not seen the dress.
Mm-hmm.
It's upstairs.
Nope, not doing it.
What? What do you think I'm asking? What do you think I'm asking?
Even if you did see the dress, it really doesn't matter. Like,
I just don't want to.
Because ultimately, it's the dress, you know?
Oh, it's the dress, though.
Yeah, it's the dress, but it's the person in the dress that matters.
Well, of course. I mean, if you wore it, I'd probably throw up a little bit. But I don't even have to look at it to know that. But I can't. We had this conversation. I'm like, you know, no, I don't want to see it. And then she's like, or no, she didn't want me to see it. And I'm like, I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. And she said, if you ask again, I'm going to show it to you. And ever since then, I'm like, no, I don't want to see it. But now she wants to show me. And she left it upstairs. She's coming over here to get ready tomorrow after I leave.
Well, she's going to show you tomorrow.
And also, I'm reading the vows in the morning.
Yeah.
That's probably where.
Yeah.
That's probably where it's going to get a little.
But hey, you're going to get her. I read them things.
You read them?
Yeah.
They were solid, right?
Yeah.
I had to dig into some writing skills I had back in the day.
Yeah, I didn't think you wrote them. I'm just
kidding. You didn't think I did. All
right. That's enough of that, right?
Now,
congratulations. I'm so excited for both of you. And
I'm happy you get to be there.
I'm really glad that you chose me and that Grace was okay with it. I mean,
she didn't flinch, man.
Really?
Right. That's and again, awesome. Thank you, Hamilton, for your text. And also, again, congratulations. We're excited and... Hopefully, I don't know if you, if y'all know or anything, but, you know, let us know, boy or girl, if y'all have that figured out, and let us know what kind of woo pig attire that he or she will be in as soon as they're born, because we know that's happening.
Or if we need a JRD onesie. We can make things happen.
Absolutely, right. But just keep the messages coming again, and we appreciate it, guys.
Twitter Dirt.
This is kind of going back to what Andy was talking
about. Back to that basketball talk.
And the Musselman honeymoon being over. And I've got to say, this is exactly why a Twitter Dirt segment was created, because of all of the dirt. People, we're on a, I think I heard it was 6 out of the last 7. I might be wrong on that. But we're on a losing skid nonetheless. People are ready to get rid of Mus. He can't handle the SEC. He don't know what he's doing. He doesn't know how to control his roster. That doesn't exist. And the one Dingleberry fella, that name. Now
the funny thing is, going back to that, is the fact that he was getting, you know, he's trying to be an outlet, you know, trying to be like a recruiting guy and everything like that.
He was definitely one of the strong ones in the coaching search.
So his handle or whatever on Twitter is Old Mudbutt, I believe. So, yeah, there you go if you want to go find it. But Nikki, she said people are really going to take news from someone called Old Mudbutt. Seriously.
do better.
Do better.
Or come on, guys. Something along those lines. But aside from him, I like how we said we weren't going to say his name, and now it's been mentioned like 7 times.
Yeah, we gave his name. We gave his Twitter handle.
We'll get your address to you, his address to you before the show's over.
I heard it's Mike Anderson's old house.
Oh, might be.
I'm just kidding. That's Sam Pittman's. You installed the internet there? Yeah, I did install the internet at Sam Pittman's.
But aside from dipshit, there's a lot of people that are flooding. They're not on his level, but they are saying maybe he's not the right guy or whatever. And I don't, Dylan, get it, man. Like, what more do you expect from this team?
Right.
I mean, seriously, every game we've lost aside from Tennessee.
Are we just wired completely different, or is it really that hard to step away a little bit, not be so in tune to wins, losses, and that whole deal? Obviously, I understand what happened. We saw the Tennessee game. That's why we haven't really broke down or did a recap of the Tennessee game.
Yeah.
We don't have to.
Right.
It's what we kind of talked about this weeks ago. Was like,
it SEC, was coming.
SEC's going to show what happens. Mm-hmm. We don't have the depth. Losing Joe is obvious there.
Absolute worst thing that could happen. Yeah. I think we could afford Mason over Joe, to be honest with you, scoring-wise.
Yeah.
And that sounds weird, given he's...
You got to pull somebody off the perimeter. And Joe gets two sometimes. So I just don't get it. How you got to disconnect from time to time and realize what they're looking at in the situation. Musselman's in his first year. You will take this from any first-year coach right now.
You want this. When Musselman's hired, you want this record at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this, and I think even me and you were like, you know, he's somewhere around the 15-win game. We could go back in the archives. I think we had him somewhere in there. He has literally exceeded expectations. We're going to win a game in the SEC tournament. I do believe that. And I know we have talked about this off air. I'm not sure if we have on air. We prefer the NIT. The mm-hmm. NIT will do better for this team than a one-and-done tournament.
We typically don't go this route, but, you know, we haven't recorded in a long time. It feels like, you know, decades. I'll be straight up there. But, you know, 4 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, we were talking NIT and that nature. And now the radio folks, the people that talk daily, are now just catching into it that, will an NIT be better or one and done? It's like,
you don't want the one and done. That's why.
For this team, for what we're building, you're going to want as much games as possible. And they're going to be able to make a deeper run and get more games under their belt in an NIT. And guess what? It's inside Bud most of the time.
Right.
As long as we're seated higher.
And we will be seated higher, assuming we don't just hit a wall here. But the thing is, too, is it not only is it better for camaraderie and everything, but it's also a better opportunity for Mus to be in touch with Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe about staying.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more opportunity for, hey, look what we got coming in, guys, and stuff like
that.
You got
4 four-stars that are committed to you.
Yeah.
That are committed to you.
And like, you don't know what the transfer portal holds either. Nope. I mean, that could... Again, Andy's 4-seed prediction, I don't think that's ridiculous. Is it something I'm going to put money on? Absolutely not, but I don't think it's ridiculous. And because we don't play in a conference like the ACC where it's a lot of freshmen year after year after year, you know, a lot of older guys like Virginia, you know, they won a couple years ago. That had like 2 or 3 seniors on the squad. We're freshmen in the SEC all the time. I mean – an old dude in the SEC is a junior. So it's not like we're going to be going up against a crap ton of veteran teams next year. Like, we're going to have young guys. If we can keep Joe and Jones, we're set up, dude.
A redshirt senior and a junior as your leading guys that are really showing 4 highly touted freshmen how to play in the SEC.
With a coach that is one of the most attention to detail oriented guys. Like, they talk about it freaking episode or broadcast. About the spots on the floor and everything, and it gets old to hear, but it doesn't get old to see, if that makes sense. Like, Musselman is a basketball mind.
Mm-hmm.
So kids want to come here and learn, keep those guys teaching the 4 freshmen. I mean,
that's how you start a foundation. I mean, you can sit there, have that rotation through the, because we're not going to get, if we get another year of Joe, that we're not going to get a senior year.
Absolutely not. No.
So, You get to have that cycle. You get to have the foundation, and then it just becomes second nature. Then one and done's are something that we want to have one and done's. That means we're getting the talent.
In theory, yes. Yeah. I hate it, but in theory, yes. That's what we want to have. And those guys that we have coming in next year, the Joes, you know, Joe's still in touch with his guys from Fort Smith that he played with and AAU mm-hmm. and all that. We're going to, like you said, I mean, let's be the next Kentucky, as much as I hate to say it, with the way things rotate.
No, I want to be better than Kentucky in that regard and win, you know, a championship, I think.
And also, again, haven't recorded in a minute, Love Them Hogs sent us a message after the Kentucky game.
Oh.
And we forgot all about it.
That one kind of slid through, didn't it?
It did. We talked about it off air, and I actually got to speak with him to find out what he was trying to get at. But he was basically saying, he said, please tell me you and Dylan are going to talk about the way the crowd treated the ejection of Calipari. And I remember asking you, like, what does he mean? Because turns out he hated it. He thought it was pretty
really
crappy of the fans. And his leading argument with that was how Calipari's been a big fan of Musselman. And I said, okay, that I understand that. I was like, but it's Calipari.
That's commonplace across the board, though. I mean, if a head coach gets ejected, it's because he's showing his ass.
Like, well, so his argument is it wasn't that much ass showing. And then I said, okay, well, you know he did it on purpose, right? And he said, well, that's fine. People do it all the time. I said, exactly. But it's Kentucky, a big rival of ours. Maybe not for Kentucky, but it is for us. Mm-hmm. And, again, Calipari, no one likes him that actually follows basketball close enough to know how much of a bag of ass that he is in morality speak. And I told him, I was like, I disagree with you. I think they handled it great. And, I mean, your athletic directors – standing up and hollering, you know, get off my court. So
you also have the GOAT out there and Dave Van Horn waving him goodbye as well.
Waving him goodbye as well, yeah. So, and we know Love Them Hogs is all about the baseball.
Yeah.
So
you gonna go against the GOAT?
He ain't gonna go against the GOAT.
You don't go against the GOAT.
But I just had to against say that. But that was a great segue there, bringing up the GOAT, because guess what's tomorrow, dude?
We got baseball.
Well, I'm getting married.
Wedding. Baseball.
The wedding's first, and then it's the baseball game.
Yeah. You're making it rough on me, but it's worth it.
No, we opened up with Eastern Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them Illinois.
It was Chad Morris's first football win. Was against Eastern Illinois. at Arkansas.
Can you turn this off?
We just want to end the recording there.
He just did that. Yeah, so sweeping, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Surely.
Well, we got a freshman starting on Sunday, so. But we'll see what happens.
Raymond's come in and
apparently he's got a really good control in terms of a freshman, which is hard to come by.
Yeah.
So, and local kid, Springdale.
Luke brought up a good point here. Eastern Illinois was Chad Morris's first win, and this is also going to be Dave Van Horn's first win of the season. But what do you? They're not a bad team in their conference, but I mean we're two-peat back to back. Omaha appearances, and Nolan, by all accounts, has grown exponentially in his command.
I think that's the big deal there. You know, it's really good that we get to see him first thing Friday. So,
I'm not saying that one, but yeah, I mean, what are you looking to see? Are we about to start?
I want to see a little bit more velocity from Nolan a little bit.
Is it the bullpen that you're? Because we know the bullpen because I'm a very knowledgeable baseball person. When we started off the season last year, I was worried about Campbell. So,
yeah.
Quite arguably one of the best pitchers we've ever had come through here.
How'd that work for you?
So, the bullpen's always sketchy just because of obviously how important it is. But we've got some freshmen at second base. I did not write that down. I will have his name after
Robert
this
Moore?
One. That guy.
Yeah.
Who is being compared to Benintendi, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean – no expectations there.
5-2.
So I'm anxious to see that. And they're talking about the power being back. You know, we sort of stepped away from that last year compared to the year prior. Martin has – I saw a Ryan Folks. Is that his name?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Baseball guru. I never remember his last name. I have like three Ryan Fs on my Twitter. But saying that Martin's kind of IQ has gone up. You know, he was kind of error prone last year, saying he seems to have.
That's the biggest thing I wanted to see out of him was clean him up. Yep. And I think MLB scouts want to see that as well.
And we are taking here at the JRD Hogcast bets.
Are we now?
We are.
Okay. That's news to me.
To see.
You had your own meeting here.
What number does the over-under need to be set at for Goodhart's eyes being mentioned?
Oh, man. I mean,
putting it four over the weekend.
Over the weekend? It's definitely going to be mentioned because it's not necessarily old.
Going over.
It's going over four? For and the weekend, for I would say over on that because they're going to mention at least one.
Per,
so.
Yep.
It's going to be one of those deals. If Goodhart shows out, then they're definitely going to mention it because they're going to be like, you know, 2 years ago, this guy was, he was blind. So,
four a good number?
Four is a good number.
Okay. Andy, tell us what you think.
That's a tough one.
Love them hogs. Where you at?
479-308-8605.
And then I also think that we will see a lot of the bullpen. I feel like we're probably going to be handling pretty well. I bet you he lets Nolan go as long as he can to kind of get the feel of the Friday night starter. And I bet you if Nolan's doing good no matter what, he's pulling him 7 2/3, right? That seemed to be what his number was last year.
Yeah, I bet he pulls him earlier than that.
You think he will?
Just because it's early in the season.
But I feel like we're going to see them rotate in and out pretty heavily. And, again, I'm just going to be honest with you guys. There's a lot of names.
Yep.
It's going to take me a minute to get used to all of them again. Obviously, we know the big ones. Kerstad's probably going to hit 16 home runs this weekend. That's a good question, though. What do you think? I bet you
– Think about the names that have been elevated. So, we already had the Kerstad. We had Martin. Opitz has definitely made that leap, and I feel like
– Opitz made the leap midway last year.
Midway last year when, you know, pretty much as soon
couldn't
as –
run on him.
Yep. That's, you know, as soon as we had the season started, I was like, that's a catcher.
That's a dude. Yep.
And so, he made that leap. So, we got those. Those are definitely the – three big names there.
I'm saying Nesbitt. I'm throwing Nesbitt.
Nesbitt is definitely a name.
He was a strong freshman.
But, you know, pitching staff side, you know, Nolan's getting a lot of love. Wicklander is getting tons of love.
Ramage
is
going to be a solid reliever.
Yeah, it looks like he'll be the first out of the pen.
But that's the names that I've kind of been.
But then we have guys that got drafted and foregone that in Robert Moore. And then even Goodhart, who's a consistent hitter because, you know, in case you didn't know, he had his eyes fixed.
And where are you at with trying to fight that one off real bad? We noticed right now Washington isn't in the rotation or lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that? Because I really did think that he was going to end up being a starter. And, of course, he could be later in the year. But
he'll get some work probably in more of the midweek series stuff. And,
which is where he was
pitch
at
running
last year.
Side, you know, I don't think his role has changed too much of it.
Pinch running, he was a pretty solid staple there all the way through the playoffs or the Omaha run and everything.
And I don't think we'll lose a step with Franklin.
No, compared to
Fletch. I mean, it's hard to step into Fletcher's.
It's hard to say that, but at the same time, he might be better than Fletcher by the time it's all said and done. Dude's a freak.
Mm-hmm.
So fast. And he got to learn behind him.
Yep.
I mean, he got to learn from Fletcher himself. So expectations as a Razorback fan is always.
This is definitely something that I feel like, especially, you know, midway through the football season, this is what they were looking forward to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can say what you want about basketball, but you weren't looking forward to basketball. You were
looking forward to basketball the same way you were looking forward to football with Morris. You were just looking forward to see what it was.
Yeah, see how it's going
to
be different.
This has been, we've been looking forward to the next 3 months of baseball, is what we're looking forward to here. And,
this is what we were when we kicked off this podcast a year ago.
This is what we did.
We were like, you know, this is going to be a decent squad. I was one of those that was like, I don't necessarily know if it's an Omaha deal.
I was on Omaha the whole time.
I actually said bounced, I think, in the regional.
You did.
I will admit to that, but I was backed on this team.
Didn't I say host? I did say host. Wasn't that Bowl Production?
Host
of Super?
Maybe host of Regional or Super. Anyway.
Nonetheless, we know what we got in baseball.
I'm not shooting a good percentage on the bold predictions here. Tom Herman still got a job, so.
I said that, too. but, no, we're anticipating, and what I was going to say was as expectations as a Razorback fans, you always got to tread lightly. Mm-hmm. In DVH, we trust.
Yep.
I just don't think. And also, leading up to last year, he was a bit more vocal about the lack of. This year he's been pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. He's had some blurbs here and there, but he's not. I think he knows what he's got, and I think he knows that this is a chance at his first one.
Martin's been really high on this in the press conference.
Yeah, I saw that. Opitz told him this is the best offense he's ever seen or we've ever had or however he worded it. The problem I have with that based off of last year's Martin is don't say that to Martin because I don't want to – that was his biggest fault on the offensive side.
He plays with a lot of juice.
He hit to hit home runs. He wasn't hitting for a percentage, and that's – you know, it's fun to see those home runs, especially when we're out there in the hog pen and everything, but the actual hog pen. But, you know, when you needed just something on the ground, you didn't expect it from Martin.
Right.
And if there was two outs and runner on second, you were more concerned about Martin swinging for the fences and striking out than you were getting it on the ground.
You definitely hope he developed that in the game, with especially how fast he is. I mean,
he has to.
Unanimous though. Fastest runner in the nation and on right. The base path. So
you got to think Dave Van Horn worked that pretty seriously. And, you know, he got snubbed from some things. I don't know if snubbed is the right word, because he did make a lot of errors, as we said, but – you know, Kershaw was getting all the accolades and Opitz and stuff.
It's
but
the difference between a first and second team kind of thing. If you're about that, which if you're a competitor, that's
you are.
You won't put that on your wall.
And I feel like he's the kind of guy too that would, because of that, he's going to sit down and look and be like, you know, what did I do different that Kershaw was doing well? Because Kershaw is a hitter. Right. Kershaw can direct the ball wherever he wants it to be. So hopefully, come Sunday, we got some.
So what you're saying, you know, as we close out here. You're saying that instead of having Broom standing up on them side or by themselves, like we saw over the internet this weekend, we're going to use them and we're going to sweep them.
We're going to sweep them.
I'll take it. For JRD Hogcast, I'm Dylan Lee.
I'm Jordan Russell.
Shout out to producer Luke.
The best on this show.
You can hit us up at JRD Hogcast on Twitter. You can hit us up on the voice and text line, 479-308-8605. Until next time. And as always, woo, pig, suey. Congratulations, Jordan and Russell. Jordan, Russell, and Grace. Let me put Grace in
Russell,
there.
Russell, by the time she listens to this.
So, I can't wait to announce that. You'll see a little pride on my face. Because I've got season tickets to the best seats in this place. And when my team takes the field, I won't cut you any slack. I'll be cheering like a schoolgirl.